Blog Talk Radio.
Back on this show yet again. Oh, I love doing this. Vega, I keep
What happened to my entrance theme? That sucks.
Whoa. What's happening and where am I and how in the heck did I end up on the show?
I know. Ace is kind of asking himself the same thing.
Oh, I know how I got here.
Oh, that's you, Ace? Oh, shoot.
I put myself here.
That's true. Right. That's true.
I hear there's an invasion happening, huh? There's another hijack. We get to go part two of this. This is going to be fun.
I've been hijacking this show for so long. I've hijacked it to the point where I'm tired of hijacking it. This is getting old.
Good.
But the point is, I always come.
Good. Now we can end this once and for all. We can end this once and for all.
Oh, baby. Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room with me and my fellow co-host, Travis Valhark, our special moderator in moderation, our Navy. And then we have this ace-hole who continues to hijack my shit.
That's right.
I ain't gonna lie. I love that nickname. I don't know why.
Ace-hole?
Yes. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I think
because
it's
you...
clever.
All right, let's cut to the chase. Royal, I brought you on because the only way we're going to settle this is to debate random topics on wrestling. Valhark, you can bring up questions, too. You two are the moderators. Ace and I will do the talking. Let's shoot the first question.
All right.
Who's going first on their question?
We're going to let y'all go first.
Okay. Well... Emelina, how do you feel about it?
Oh,
Ace,
since
I'm a good spirit, I'll let you go first.
Emelina, this bitch is a troll, first and foremost. Second, she looks hot as hell in the bikini and all those Instagram pictures. Third, she's a really good performer, but WWE is just using her as a sex object / wrestler / geek / bad Emma / whatever. I really don't know what to think of Emma. I don't think anyone really knows what to think of Emelina or Emma or whoever the hell her real name is, whatever her real name is. So at the end of the day, she just looks good.
I kind of like that.
I'm enjoying that answer myself. That's a pretty great answer.
I have to agree. Vague, what do you got?
I mean, we waited 17 weeks. Does that mean we have to wait 17 more weeks for this other transformation to happen?
You know,
I mean, come on. What's next? I mean, seriously, I'm like, we waited 17 weeks. We're probably going to have to wait another 17 weeks. I mean, this has been the greatest troll WWE has always had. Sure, she's hot, but I'm still staring at my Bayley. That's what I'm still staring at.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and this is where I think I have to kind of side with Ace a little bit. I do hate the fact that WWE trolled us for so long because, yeah, those vignettes that she was doing, I mean, before those vignettes came out, I was following her on Instagram, and she was posting those types of photos, and by God almighty, you know, I was like, this woman is absolute straight killer. And she's great in the ring. She's a great wrestler. But they were trying to turn her into, quote-unquote, the next Sable or the next Cat. And we're not in that generation anymore. And preferably, I kind of like that. And she can actually wrestle. And she's a good heel. So I always wondered what was wrong with the bad Emma that she was playing before she got hurt.
That's a good question.
So,
what was wrong with that?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't mind the fact that this was a troll, because I personally believe she should have never had a gimmick change to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to agree with Vega. This was a complete troll from WWE for weeks on end. They got down to the point of revealing her, and they said, debuting next week, we get to the following Raw, nothing happened whatsoever. We see more Emelina vignettes and whatnot, but this whole transformation back to Emma, what I think it It's a complete step away from Bad Emma and Emma from NXT, and we're going to see a whole different side of Emma that's much more aggressive, that's much more violent, that's much more determined, and much more, like you said, stable-like, but, you know, it revitalizes the women division on Raw. But it's a troll, such a troll. It's annoying, and they should just already, you know, let us get to see Emma wrestle like we saw her wrestle in NXT against Paige with that top rope powerbomb. Other than that, I mean, you know, this is such a troll, and it's annoying. But
well, at least Zack Ryder's having fun with her.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Woo woo woo.
Yeah, I mean, he hobbled along.
He got. He won the hot girlfriend category. I tell you that.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Talk about another topic. We come off Emma. What do we got next?
Kurt Angle, Hall of Fame. Too early? They should have waited. What happened? What's your thought?
Oh, this is yeah.
All right,
good.
I'll go first on this. I'll go first on this. Boys, it's been 10 years since he's been in the WWE. I mean, sure, he got released on bad terms 2006, but it's been 10 years. This is actually well due. I mean, he's been gone for 10 years, going on 11. I just feel that this was the best move to make, because it's just the perfect way to introduce him back into the WWE, with him always talking, oh, I'm gonna come back and do something with WWE, oh, I'm going to wrestle. And, like, every time the reports were denied, he knew something was up, because it's like some people are trying to play it cool, and some people are like, well, we can't let this cat out of the bag anytime soon. And I just feel that this was the right timing to do it. I mean, Kurt Angle is one of the greatest. Sure, he had his problems, but you can't argue with the fact of how great of a wrestler he was and his accomplishments.
Yeah.
Ace, what you got?
All right. I remember on my show, Ace's Wrestling Corner, on YouTube, by the way, I was making different videos on Kurt Angle on his return, and every time it seemed like he was coming back, he didn't, and it was pissing me off, because Kurt Angle, in my humble opinion, is the greatest pure wrestler I've ever seen in my life. And I miss Kurt Angle. And for him to come back and be in the Hall of Fame, he deserves it 10 times over, overflow. And not only do I want to see Mr. Angle in the Hall of Fame, I want to see his ass get in there and have one more match. And not only do I want to see him have one more match, I want to see him in WWE 2K18. Damn it. I want him in the game, too. Just give me all the Kurt Angle.
Two plugs.
That's
in one statement.
You know it.
Okay, so that brings me to my next question, then. Angle, perfect match scenario, go down. Should he have a last Angle run, or should, like he did in TNA before he left and retired and got put into the, after the Hall of Fame, should he have one last year in WWE, or should it just be one more match? And who would it be against? How would it all play out? Scenario go.
Can I actually butt in on this one?
But,
sure.
Go
ahead.
Okay. To that question that you just brought up, no. He should not have another, like, run, if you will, with WWE in regards to should he do, like, a schedule, an actual schedule. No. And I say that because he doesn't need to anymore. And I say that in regards to he accomplished everything you could possibly accomplish with WWE before he left in 2006. Then he went on to TNA and did everything for that company. Hell, he was the main guy for that company for almost a 2-year stretch. I mean, he was the man. Like, he was the top heel. He was their guy. He was the biggest acquisition for TNA ever. Well, personally speaking, maybe okay, maybe a little underneath Sting, but that's because I'm a Sting fan. But anyway, he was the face of that company. So he accomplished everything there. Now, him coming back to WWE sober and everything like that, he does deserve it. He does deserve the Hall of Fame spot. Do I think it's too early? Well, I don't know. I can see where that's up for debate, but nonetheless, I'm not disappointed that he's going in. For a run, no. He should become like a Brock Lesnar. Come back for a match every so often. And to be perfectly honest, there's only three guys, really there's only three matches I'd like him to see. And it's the ones that he's already said that he would like, which is AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins. Joe and Styles, because he's already wrestled them before and had killer matches with both of them in TNA. Now, since they're in WWE, him coming back to WWE too, which also he is in amazing shape for a dude that's just a little south of 50, just like Goldberg is. He can still go. He can still go very well in the ring, even after all of his neck issues. And he can put on killer matches still. And him and Joe and Styles, they could tear the house down. And you could put that as a WrestleMania match, and it'd still be killer. And then just Rollins, because Rollins is the homegrown WWE talent, just like he was. So it's one of those things where he sees – I've said it before, Seth Rollins is Triple H 2.0. He's just like Triple H in the regards to a character. He's also Triple H in regards to just being a cerebral tactical wrestler. The only difference between him and Triple H is he's a high flyer at times too. So that's how Kurt Angle should be booked, if you will, in regards to an in-ring return.
I think, in my opinion, I think it's way too soon for Kurt to go in the Hall of Fame, understandably. Injuries, and then you got the age. But at the same time, Undertaker hasn't even yet been put in. Like, how does Kurt Angle get put in before Undertaker does? And Undertaker, you know, just came back. Like, if he could get in there and work with injuries, then why can't Kurt, you know? So I would have put it
next
year.
Maybe Taker doesn't
want
to go in right now. Maybe Taker wants to wait till he is retired. You know, because you know, when Taker retires, he'll be the next Hall of Fame inductee. He'll be the main person for that Hall of Fame, and that could be what they're waiting for too.
Right, but my point is, wait until next year's WrestleMania. This is how it should have happened. Wait until next year's WrestleMania. Announce Kurt Angle's return now that you guys got him under contract. He signed. He's about to come back for a whole another year to wrestle, to compete, and then, you know, okay, boom, Kurt Angle's going to the Hall of Fame. There should be a goodbye tour. At least we get to experience the Kurt Angle that we've known and seen and grown a part of for the last 10 years. The Kurt Angle that we missed in WWE for the last 10 years, but we get to see that. We get to see the athleticism. We get to see those dream matches be made and complete, but there's going to be stories behind them, not just one-offs, you know. But they should have waited until next year's WrestleMania to put them in too soon. Absolutely too soon. We don't really get to experience the Kurt Angle that we love and miss. And this new generation don't really get to know the Kurt Angle that we grew up knowing, the pure athlete that we grew up knowing, the competitor who competed with a younger Chris Benoit, a younger Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, those, right? So we just jump the gun and classify him as a legend, which he is. He deserves that. But we don't get to experience the legend status of Kurt Angle that we've been seeing over time and again. But that's my opinion. That's my bias. I think it was too soon.
I can actually see where you're coming from, just because that's basically the route they took with Sting. The only difference was Sting, first off, is not Kurt Angle. You know, that's a route. We'll just put that out there right now. Sting's not a Kurt Angle. But I get where you're coming from in the sense that Sting came in and had his little short run with WWE, and then they put him in the Hall of Fame. I get your point there. But I think that also maybe because of the fact that Sting hadn't been to WWE before. You know, like I said, Angle has done the WWE thing and was successful in it before. So maybe that had a little bit to do with it. I don't know. But I get where you're coming from.
See, the difference with Sting, though, was he already had a WCW career, and WWE just buying him out, you know, that just transferred over to WWE. So in that sense of regard, it's kind of like, well, Sting didn't really need it, but he wanted it. They let him do it, and he did it, you know. But again, Night of Champions, horrible night. Seth Rollins hurt him. We did get to see Sting finish off, but...
I don't want to talk about that tragedy. I really don't.
If we're going to have a dream match with Kurt Angle and Seth Rollins, make that the last like leg or the last tier of Kurt Angle's WWE run, just in case he does get hurt, then there's a reason for you to really go into the Hall of Fame. But, you know, not wishing hurt onto anyone, but, you know, just thinking realistically. Next question, who has it?
Someone's got one. Come on.
All right. Hardy's return to WWE.
Who wants it? Who wants to go first on that?
Ace, it's yours.
Yeah, I'll go. So both Hardys?
Both Hardys.
Yeah, we'll say both Hardys.
Remind you, Matt Hardy has been a WWE champion, like heavyweight champion.
Okay.
Hardy has, so you're going to have a difference of popularity and credibility.
Okay. See, this is tricky because they both have – you can bring them back in their original Hardy Boys, Team Extreme, and that would work. There's no problem with that. And they sell a ton of merch and make a lot of money and be a killer in the tag team division. But you can also bring them back to where they are now, possibly, to introduce them as broken Matt Hardy and Jeff and kind of resume where they left off in TNA and continue to have crazy-ass storylines and delete bullshit and delete Triple H and shit. But I don't know. It's kind of weird. To be dead honest with you, I kind of would bring them back as broken Matt Hardy and Jeff just because I've seen the Hardy Boys already at, you know, Team Extreme. I kind of want to see something new with them in WWE, and I would probably have them together and then probably split them off into singles and have Matt Hardy be on Monday Night Raw and just cause chaos on the Raw roster as a heel and have a lot of fun with that.
I actually like that idea a lot, and I'm in total agreement that the broken Hardys should make a WWE return. Because I really do think here's the only bad thing about that. There's no way with what they're doing right now in regards to the TNA segment of the Expedition of Gold that they're calling it. There's no way WWE would let that storyline continue because it started in TNA, and I'm sorry. And this is where I actually do find it. This is where I hurt for the fact that Styles and Joe and Bobby Roode, they can't have their TNA accolades talked about. People know them, you know, people know about them, but they can't talk about them because there's no working relationship between the two companies. So that being said, unless something were to change between Jeff Jarrett and Vince McMahon, since Jarrett's now consulting for them again, I don't see us having that storyline continued on throughout WWE. But I do think you could still bring them back as the Broken Hardys and then let them recapture. I think they need to go on the storyline of they will go to both brands. They could do an extension of the storyline like that and take both tag titles, you know.
That would be cool.
And then break them off, like you're saying, and let Broken Matt Hardy get a main title. Either one of them will be fine. Let him do Universal or WWE Championship. I don't care either way. Because honestly, it would be good for Matt if it was the WWE title because that's the title with the lineage now. But then putting on that Universal title though, that could add credibility to that Universal Championship and Universal part of it. Man, the Universal part of that title. You realize how far he could run to combine that word universal with his gimmick?
It would be delightful.
Yes.
Delightful.
Yes, 100%. Matt Hardy would make it work. But that's where WWE would have to loosen the creative strings.
Primini son.
I'm assuming we can use certain cuss words. So that shit was some of
I've been cursing, so.
I know, but, you know, That gimmick, that whole broken gimmick, was one of the most ridiculous things I think I had ever seen in my entire life. But the more I watched it, the more I couldn't help but love it. And it was one of those.
Even the three H's would be proud.
Man,
70.
I don't know why. How do you get this gimmick over like this? How the hell do you do that?
Jeff Hardy.
Talent.
It's a lot of
Jeff Hardy's
doing. Jeff Hardy's strange mind. Like the whole obsolete thing, I did my research on this. This was Jeff Hardy's doing with the whole obsolete. He released a single called Obsolete before that you've heard on TNA where he comes out and it's the whole obsolete.
Yeah, I love that song.
I classify myself as obsolete, right?
I love that song.
Matt Hardy did was just add the whole delete thing on top of that, and now you got obsolete delete. But it's Jeff Hardy's doing. You could tell.
You think the whole broken character's been Jeff Hardy's thing?
No, I'm saying.
Okay, that's what I was getting from you, and I was like, wait, no, you can't give Jeff credit for this.
I'm saying
you can give him for his part.
The obsolete. That's all.
The look and the feel of it is Jeff Hardy's doing. The actual philosophy behind it, it's Matt Hardy. Absolutely, it's Matt Hardy. Jeff Hardy came up and said it on live TV before, and he translated some of the stuff that Matt Hardy came up with, like the seven deities just means God. Premonition just means I see, that type of stuff. Like, so there's a defined line. You can tell that both of them are adding on to this, but Matt Hardy is the one that you can tell that was like, all right, let's go for it, let's shoot for it, let's do it right now. Jeff Hardy came and added in the excitement, the feel, and the creative look and the aesthetics, if you will.
You know what I think was interesting about the whole broken gimmick was I thought they were going to go a completely different direction than what they did when it started with the whole Willow thing, the unmasking of Willow, and we first saw that first look of broken Matt Hardy where you first saw the white stripe in his hair and everything like that. Dude, I thought they were going to try to transition him into almost like a Bray Wyatt / Undertaker like gimmick. Not to the extent that they've done it in regards to like the whole out there like completely crazy kind of guy, but more of the dark, like I don't want to say satanic. That's not what I was trying to get at, but that level of darkness, you know what I'm saying? Like just come in with, that's where I thought they were going to go with him.
I thought he was going to be a fucking satanic clown when I first saw him.
He looked creepy, dude. Like, legitimately, I looked at when I first saw him, I was like, whoa. I couldn't even believe it was Matt Hardy.
Yeah. Makeover, Emelina.
Right.
Okay. So
Madeline is more like it.
Vega, you want to input before I add on to the question?
Let me put it this way. I would love to see the Hardys because I think it would be delightful, and we could have many premonitions, especially King Maxwell.
With the Meek Mind, the House of Meek Mind.
The House of Meek Mind. Like,
yeah, what's up, man? Yeah, you want to go, man? Yeah, we got Itchy.
Okay, so if the Broken Hardys head over to WWE because they have not yet signed their deal with TNA as of this month, so they are technically about to be free agents if they don't make their decision or their choice, meaning they could go wherever they want. Does Rebby Sky follow? What do you do with Rebby Sky? Do you keep her in the group or do you just transition her back into the women's division or let her wreak havoc? Is she broken Rebby Sky or is she just Rebby Sky?
No, she's the queen.
I got the perfect thing if she goes to WWE. If she goes to WWE, she becomes Sister Abigail. Enough said.
Well, I think she could pull that off. That'd be cool.
That's what I'm saying. But we're gonna lose the original Sister Abigail plan soon. So I mean, you might as well.
Are you talking about Eva?
Yes, that's still floating around. Eva as Sister Abigail. I don't want to see that.
Hold on. That actually now brings up a new question, if I may. How do you feel about the Eva Marie supposed release? Because they still haven't announced that she's not with the company.
I'm happy.
Yeah, she's still there.
Can't wrestle. Clap, 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 clap.
You're cool with it?
I'm absolutely cool with it. I never liked her.
For her release for a year. I remember her match with Bayley at NXT Live. God awful.
Okay, so let me clarify. So Vega, you're cool with it. Are you cool with it?
Yeah.
Ace, were you cool with it too?
I don't even know if she's gone. No, this has not even been confirmed.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing's been announced yet.
Now,
but
if
how,
she was
how would
released,
you feel? How would
okay,
you feel
if she was. Well, I would be disappointed only because I can't look at her body and her beautiful looks anymore. As far as her wrestling, she can go to hell.
Right. Right.
Yep, he won that one.
But I will ask this. Yes, I completely agree. Her whole wrestling was horrible. However, as much of a fan as I was of somebody else coming in and playing Sister Abigail, I started thinking at one point, actually, that would be a perfect role for Eva. And I say
you
that.
Think so?
I say, and this is why. This is why I say this. So she had the whole all red everything, right? And then when she left TV, they were saying like she went on some vacation or something like that, right?
Yeah, her and Paige. Right. Yep.
Subscription. Okay. So picture, follow me if you will when I say this, okay? Storyline wise. Let's go storyline purpose. What if she took this vacation because she was a lost soul? She couldn't deal with the hatred of the fans.
Uh-oh.
She was starting to feel broken herself.
Uh-oh.
To the point of just straight depression. And all of a sudden, she gets a contact or she gets a notification call, whatever you will. Somehow, Bray Wyatt gets in touch with her and offers her release from her dismay, release from her her brokenness. Her depression, her despair. What if he offered her that kind of favor because he could sense Sister Abigail had inherited her body, or that was the body she needed to inhabit. She needed to come and save a new soul. So why not do it herself?
Look,
resurrect the Sister Abigail character through the shell. Through the shell of a broken Eva Marie, she becomes a guiding light. Doesn't ever have to say a single word. Never has to get on a microphone. And if she does, give her the original Roman Reigns shield treatment. Say very little, but make them impactful statements. Boom. You've got an established heater with Eva Marie who has fallen into the Bray Wyatt brainwash and is now looked upon as the Sister Abigail that he grew up with, that nurtured him, that took care of him, that showed him his way that he is now trying to spread to others.
But she's so fine, though.
I get that, but you can still work with that. You can still work with that.
Now, I'll give that the benefit of the doubt only because she dyed her hair black or put
exactly
black weave in or whatever the hell she did. But when I think of Sister Abigail, I always only could think of one person, and most people probably won't agree, but I always thought of Sister Abigail would be perfect for Paige.
Hey, guys, we got a minute left where we have to switch over.
Okay, then we'll have to continue this because, quite frankly, I thought the same thing at one point. And honestly, I wouldn't have been disappointed with that idea either. But I would like to continue this on the other line.
Okay, I'm gonna just say we need.
All right,
TNA.
I'm gonna go. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the War Room, where we got some unsettled business because this is far from over. Thank you,
yes,
and we'll be back momentarily.